but I can fix me.
Yes.
And you know, before I can even fix me, I'm going to have to ask the Lord, Lord, is it I? Do I have something in me that you would like to adjust? Because I look at these, am I going to spend my time looking at others and what they need to do? Or if I will turn the searchlight inside and say, search me, Lord. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. You know, this is saying bringing into captivity every thought. You know, some of my thoughts I think are good to keep, to have on hand. I spend a lot of time with them. But you know, when I ask him to search me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me into the way everlasting, now I'm asking him to check out the thoughts that I'm thinking. Lord, are they pleasing to you when I'm thinking about my relationships with others? And here's the question that I'm asking for myself. Lord, is there a pattern
Yes.
that leads me to be offensive to others? You know, sometimes we can just say, I tell you what, the way I am, I just like to tell it like it is. You don't have to leave wondering where I stand. I'm going to tell it like it is. Is that a virtue? Maybe what I'm even doing is I'm telling it like I see it to be. It may not really be what it is. It's what I'm able to perceive about the thing. Bringing into captivity every thought with the Lord's help to be able to sift through the thoughts that I need to keep and the thoughts that I need to get rid of. This made me think about the little bracelet I used to see people wear when I was in school. Had four letters on it. Remember what those were? WWJD. And for a while, I didn't know what those letters meant. Somebody just walking around with that bracelet. But then somebody told me, that is somewhere out there, people had gotten the idea that, you know what, wear that. Take a look at it and then say, what would Jesus do? Well, I think we had our song, What Would Jesus Do, a long time before that little bracelet came out. But it's something that I want to have just a pattern in my life. I'm checking, what would Jesus do in this situation where I am now in relationships, where I am now around other people? You know, I could kind of think, you know what, if I lived on an island by myself, everything would be fine. I'd just get along real good with myself. Well, we're not. We have other people that we come in contact with. And it's very possible, if we could only see the whole picture, that God put some people into our life to cause some things to happen. Because he sees through all of this, and he sees at the very end of what Robert was reading about, he wants us to have an abundant entrance.
Yes.
So he sends this person to do this. Well, what I want to be real careful about is that I'm not the one that he has to use. Say, okay, well, I'll just use Dan then, because he always likes to tell it like it is. And it'll at least help the other person to make heaven. I don't want it to be that way. So if I'm into obedience to Christ, how would Christ have done these? In Matthew, he gives us a lot of instruction in the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew 5 and 44, 43 says, you've heard it been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You know, that's quite a list right there for us to do. And that's for all those that we know don't care about us. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. You know, before that ever becomes an action, I've got to catch it when it's in the thought process. I was reading this before. You remember where we saw it in charity? It thinketh no evil. It doesn't have, that's in the thought process. That is when I'm thinking about what the other person is doing. I'm not thinking evil. When that happens, the offense get stopped at the source. Instead of it being able to feed itself like a fire, it gets stopped at the beginning instead of going on through. I read this. Watch your thoughts. They will become words.
Yes.
Watch your words. They'll become your habits. Watch your habits. They become your character. Watch your character. It will become your destiny.
Yes.
And we're still thinking about the verse that Robert used at the very end. I would like to have an abundant entrance at the end of it all.
Amen.
And there's a list of things. It's not just that, just in that chapter, but throughout the Word of God, there's a list of things that we can build that helps us to be able to have an abundant entrance. How important my thoughts are, because the next step past my thoughts are going to be the words that I say. There's another verse over in Matthew 12. Talking to the religious people, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, I need to realize that here. I've had some thought process going on, and now the mouth, or I can examine it. It's real easy for me to examine it in others, but what about in myself? To be able to see, you know what, the words that now come, they're because some thoughts have been entertained for a while.
Yes.
Lord, help me to go back to the source of that fountain before it becomes words. Help me to be able to check it by the Lord's help while it's still in the thought process. It tells me, woe to that man by whom offenses come. So I take that as a warning. What I would like for us to look at for a few minutes is the seriousness of my words. After it has left the thought process, and now it turns into the words I say. In Proverbs 18, and 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now that's some pretty strong words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know, I have the power in my tongue to make somebody's day by the things that I say. And it doesn't have to be a long paragraph. It can be just a short little thing I say. I have the power to make someone's day. I have the power to ruin somebody's day.
Yes.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Then there's another verse in Proverbs 18 and 19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Now, this message this morning is about me doing self-examination, not about what others are doing. And it is, you know, when I offend somebody, he has an obligation to forgive me if he wants to have those gates open up wide for him.
Yes.
What do I have for that? If you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. So I can say things and he should have to forgive me. And he does, because he wants to make heaven his home. You know, it's even said, 7 times in a day, forgive. And Jesus says 70 times 7. You know, that means that that person is obligated to just keep forgiving me for what I'm saying that would hurt him. But you know what happens? What is it? A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. You know, he can forgive me. You know, sometimes relationships never go back. Why? Because he has to be on a little bit of guard, because it could happen again. The power in my tongue. We see it over in James, the 3rd chapter. And what I want to see from these is, Lord, I want to walk with a carefulness in this area. because I don't want to be offensive to others. Mm-hmm. Look at this in the third chapter in the second verse. In many things of James, in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Now that's quite a verse. If a person can control his tongue, he can also bring every other part of himself yes. into control, which almost tells me the tongue is the hardest thing to be able to control out of the list. I was looking at the commentary on this. It said there are very few who walk so close to God and inoffensively with men as to never stumble. And although it is the privilege of every follower of God to be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, yet few of them are so. And you know what? I look back over my life and I think, boy, I sure wish I'd have learned this lesson a long time ago, because I am sure some of the things I said that I felt was so right to say it were offensive to others. And you know what? We have this saying, you've heard it before. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. Have you heard Brother Marty talk about that? Now, this is just Brother Marty's view of what these people said. But what Brother Marty says, as far as he's concerned, that's a lie if he ever heard one. That you can whip me with a stick and it'll hurt me, but you can say whatever you want to and it'll never hurt me. No, words do affect us. We're not calloused enough. If we're calloused enough, that's a danger signal in itself, that words do not hurt me. So I was looking at this. My tongue has the ability to make somebody's day or to ruin it. Lord, help me to have a carefulness in my life. 3:3, it says, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and with that we can turn the whole body. But then in the 5th verse, the tongue is a little member, and it boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Yes. You know, we can look at places where one person was able to stir a lot of people, their emotions. Where I see this is in Matthew 27:20. Jesus is now on trial, and Pilate's going to turn him loose. I don't see anything wrong with this man. In fact, I'll give you Barabbas. And what does it say? The priests were able to persuade the multitude. Somehow one person's words or a few people's words was able to persuade the whole multitude until there was a tumult, that they were all crying together, crucifying. Yeah. You know, that's the same town where just a week before he came in and there was a multitude crying, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David, welcoming him to the town. But because someone had the ability with their tongue to persuade them, 7 days later, there's a whole lot of people that have turned against Jesus. The power of the tongue. You know, I go back to thinking about Hitler. That was one man.
Yes.
How could one man do the damage that he had done? He did not go out single-handedly when he decided to hate the Jews. He didn't go out by himself and kill 6 million of them. He was able to influence with his words to where others were willing to follow after that. What does this say? The tongue is a little member, but it boasts great things. It says the tongue seems to be conscious of its influence and power, and it boasts largely of what it can do. This conveys the idea that it boasts not unjustly of its importance. If we look at Hitler, we will have to say, you know what? The tongue can boast some great things. It is able to do some great things. You know, it can do positive or it can do negative. It has the influence, it has all the influence in the world for good or for evil of which it claims to have. You know what? I was thinking for myself. I have the power in my tongue. Now, would I go out and kill somebody? No, I won't do it. I have the power in my tongue to kill someone's reputation. In my tongue, just a few words consistently said, has the, talk about power. You can build a reputation for years, and it can be destroyed with the power of the tongue. And is this message so now, like Brother Stanley's, let's go out and find who the enemy is? No, let me just turn the searchlight inside and say, Lord, I want you to search me. I'm the enemy. I want to be able to go from here. I'm just seeing this as 2024 got a fresh start. Lord, help me to learn some lessons. Help me to pick up on some things. I know we've spent several weeks right now talking about offenses, but you know what? That's one of the biggest things that's going to affect us making heaven or others. We can encourage someone else to make it a lot easier for them to make heaven their home. And we could turn it around. Do you know what? If they would have encouraged me more, I could make it better myself. But I look at this. Lord, help me to be very careful. Yes. That I not, from the power of the tongue, kill someone's reputation. In James, the third chapter, and in the ninth verse, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. You know, I can say, I don't curse a man. What I want us to look at is that can come down to the level of speaking evil of, the influence that that can have. But I want this to end on a positive note, because it does. At the end of all the instruction that is given, it says in the 17th verse, the wisdom that is from above, it's first pure. You know, this list that we saw that Robert read a while ago, here comes another list. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then it's peaceable, it's gentle. You know, wouldn't you love for people to deal with you and gentleness was their controlling factor? And then we sing that song, Lord, with thy gentleness, I would be great. You know what? He had a gentle nature about him as he went down here. Knowing who he was and to be still willing to give himself for us. It's a lesson for me. It says, full of mercy. You know, if I'm full of mercy, it's going to be reflected in the words that I say. And I don't have to be saying, I'll tell you what, you better be glad I'm having mercy on you. No, it'll just be in the way I treat other people. Full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. How valuable that is for me. Fruit of righteousness is best sown in peaceful conditions of them that make peace. I want to look over in James 1 and 20. The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. You know, how I conduct myself is not going to cause the righteousness of God to come, except I follow it his way. And then I look at the 19th verse. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man... You know, I've looked at a subject before. Lord, would you help me to be able to do this right? What does it say? Let every man be swift. You know, if I went over past records, it was maybe swift to give an answer. This one says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. There's a verse in Proverbs 15 and 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Grievous words my words can stir up anger. You know, there are places, that is amazing that God gave us that kind of power, because he wanted it to be turned in the right direction. You think in this world that we're living in today, where there is so much wickedness and so much enmity against each other, it sure looks good when I can have a good word to speak to others. And really looks good when I can turn to the one. What is Jesus letting us know? Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Because anybody can give good words back to those that are doing them well. Lord, help us when we come into situations where I'm not being treated right. Help me to be able to say, first of all, let me check this fountain where my words are going to come from. What am I thinking about this situation? Lord, help me with my thoughts, first of all, because my thoughts are going to become words if I don't check them. And then when it is about to become a word, Lord, before I speak it, Lord, would you check it? You remember that verse that says, and I believe it's a good picture of me desiring that the Holy Spirit would guide me every day. You're going to hear a word. Here it is again about a word. This is God's word, though. You're going to hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. When you would turn to the left and when you would turn to the right. As we deal with relationships this year with others, Lord, help me to ask the Holy Spirit, before I speak the word, Lord, I got these thoughts a churning. I'm about ready to spew them out. Lord, help me to stop long enough to ask the Lord, Lord, is this the direction that you would have me to go? Because I've heard it many times. You can take a pillow, a feather pillow, tear it open and dump it out. You can spew a lot of words out, never be able to get them all back in again. Lord, help us to walk with a carefulness. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Grievous words. All these years since that verse was written, it's still true. Grievous words will stir up anger. And we still have in Matthew 5 the instruction. 5 and 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. You know, you will almost, the only way that you'll be a peacemaker, you're going to have some words. But they're going to be the right kind of words for the situation to be able to dissolve the flame that could be built up. There is a song that I'd like for us to close with. It's song number 141. And in that song, it almost tells us about this that we saw a while ago. Watch your thoughts. They're going to become words. Watch your words. They're going to become habits. They're going to be the actions that come from it. This song says, guide my thoughts, lest they should wander to the empty dreams of earth. Or lest my thoughts should wander about this situation that I'm going through and what I need to say about it. And then another verse said, guide my words, that they be spoken in such kind and loving way. They may heal a heart that's broken, someone's darkness turned to day. And then it moves on to the next step. We've had words, we've had thoughts, we've had words. Then it says, guide my actions, O my Father. I desire that the Lord would help me. Because you know what? For me to have victory in this, it's going to help other people. But it's also going to be a great big help to myself, because I'm going to be cutting these things off at the fountain where my thoughts are. Because you know what? Thoughts can come into our mind and they don't go away just because I go to sleep that night. In fact, sometimes they're the reason I can't sleep at night, is those thoughts are still churning. And you know, those thoughts can become words and they can pass down from generation to generation. It is amazing how that has happened. I just read sometimes the story of the Hatfield and McCoys is enough to know that, you know what, this thing can move from one generation to another, to where you ask somebody, What's the reason for the enmity between these two families? I don't know. It's always been here, and it always will be. You know, there were many people lost their lives between those two families.
Yes.
It was because thoughts caused there to be words, and words turned into actions. Lord, help me. 2024, Jesus said, I've got some peace that I want to give you. It's not like the world will give you. You know what? If I turn my thoughts loose and I follow every one of them and I turn them into words and I say whatever I want to say, I'm not going to have the peace that Jesus said he would give. It is not as the world giveth, give I unto you, but it is still available. And I say, 2024 is still pretty fresh. That I know of, I haven't been engaged in any of it. But I tell you what, the opportunity is going to come, whether it's at work or whether it's among brethren. Lord, help me to walk with a carefulness. Blessed are the peacemakers. I want to be able to have it in my life.